Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. Coming up this hour,
officials sound the alarm on rising coronavirus cases and hospital capacity.
Another drug maker promises vaccine results in the coming weeks.
Calls for stimulus intensify as Jay Powell and Steven Mnuchin head to Capitol Hill.
And uncertainty hits the oil market as OPEC pushes back the timeline for talks.
New Jersey's governor enforces new coronavirus restrictions, plus President Trump's coronavirus advisor, Scott Atlas, steps down. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The latest on Daniel Jones's hamstring injury. Monday Night Football, Seattle beat Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Portfolio Analyst, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com.
And U.S. futures are climbing this morning on the heels of a record month for stocks, 601 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 39 points this morning. Dow futures up 343. NASDAQ futures up 107. And the 10-year Treasury down 5/32nd, yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, this latest wave of the pandemic is worrying officials across the country. Governors from coast to coast are sounding the alarm, and Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live from New York with more. John?
And Nathan, New York is focused on the growing number of hospitalizations. Governor Cuomo blames the surge on family get-togethers.
Family gatherings and smaller social gatherings have exploded as places where the virus is spreading.
New York is requiring hospitals to shift patients across the system so no one facility is overwhelmed. It's a similar story in New Jersey, where Governor Phil Murphy is imposing new restrictions.
Effective 6 a.m. Monday, December 7th, and until further notice, the gathering limit for all outdoor activities will be no more than 25 individuals.
Murphy says more than 28,000 new COVID-19 cases were recorded in just the past week. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. California's governor is also sounding the alarm and warning that stay-at-home orders could be on the way. And here with the latest is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Newsom says hospital and ICU beds are filling at a record pace.
In mid-December, California, the ICU beds will be at 112% capacity.
He says the same is true for hospital beds as well.
That positivity rate is now at 6.2% over a 14-day period.
And Newsom says for those reasons, the state may have to take what he calls drastic actions. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Hopes for a vaccine are helping to blunt some of the grim news. Novavax is promising trial results soon after its UK study reached full enrollment. We spoke with CEO Stan Erck.
15,000 plus people in the UK and 4,400 people in South Africa. I think those are really great executions of clinical trials, and now we wait and collect data to see what the efficacy levels from those two trials are.
A first look at those results from Novavax is expected in the first quarter of next year. Shots from Pfizer and Moderna are primed to be the first available, and we have word that Pfizer is now seeking approval from the EU to use its shot as soon as this month.
As the virus surges, Jay Powell and Steven Mnuchin head back to Capitol Hill to discuss the economic fallout. The Fed chair and Treasury secretary field questions today from the Senate Banking Committee. And we get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The Fed chair will caution lawmakers the U.S. economy remains in a damaged and uncertain state, even though COVID vaccines offer reason for hope. In testimony released ahead of a hearing before the Senate Banking Committee, Powell called progress on vaccines very positive for the medium term, but warned significant challenges and uncertainties remain in their timing, production, and distribution. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thanks. Congress has several items on its agenda heading into the holidays. None so urgent, though, as passing a fresh coronavirus relief package. That's according to former National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn.
I desperately believe that we need more stimulus, and we need more stimulus today. I would beg Congress to go back to work and pass a stimulus bill this week.
In an interview with Bloomberg's Emily Chang, Gary Cohn says there's probably nothing more important than putting money in American pockets right now.
When the new year hits, the push for more stimulus will likely fall on Janet Yellen's shoulders. So far, her nomination for Treasury Secretary is garnering praise on Wall Street. And we spoke with Citigroup CEO Michael Corbat.
The banking industry had a good relationship with her. And, you know, if she is elected into or if she is voted into the seat, I think she'll do a great job.
And Yellen will draw on nearly two decades of experience at the Fed to help rebuild the economy as President-elect Joe Biden calls for trillions of dollars in new stimulus.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, at least one of President Trump's picks for the Fed will get a vote. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's looking to advance the nomination of Christopher Waller. Here with more on that is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
McConnell took the action on Waller's nomination shortly after the Senate came into session Monday afternoon. It leaves Judy Shelton's path to the Fed uncertain. He ignored a question about whether he would try to revive President Trump's nomination of Shelton, a controversial pick whose confirmation all but collapsed before the Thanksgiving break. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Turning overseas now, there's uncertainty in the oil market. That's following word that OPEC talks are being delayed after a tense meeting broke down without an agreement. And Will Kennedy is Bloomberg's executive editor for energy.
While members agree in principle that they should probably delay their plan to pump more oil for a few months while we get through the worst of the coronavirus epidemic over the winter in the Northern Hemisphere, they are bickering about who contributes the most, and specifically those countries that are overproducing need to get their house in order.
And OPEC plans to try talks again Thursday. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2% at $45.25 a barrel. Brent little changed at $47.88.
And turning to corporate news now, it looks like Tesla will be added to the S&P 500 in one shot. S&P had considered adding it in two parts. When it does join December 21st, Tesla will be the seventh largest company in the index. S&P futures right now are up 40 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's see what's happening in New York and around the world. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much, sir. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is urging people to be vigilant as COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations continue to climb. Governor Cuomo said that the virus is less likely to spread in schools and recommends elementary schools find a way to safely conduct in-person learning. But Cuomo also says he is giving local communities the authority to close when they need.
We believe in keeping especially K through 8 open. The schools are safer than the surrounding community, and children get an education, and parents can work, etc. But we understand local school district prerogative. They can close below our level.
New York City elementary schools are slated to reopen for in-person learning December 7th. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the schools that will reopen will require weekly COVID testing along with mandatory consent forms.
The idea here is to go to weekly testing, 20% of the school community, and that testing will be at the schools.
In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy announced rules on sports because of the pandemic.
Effective this Saturday at 6 a.m. December 5th, all indoor youth and adult sports, including both practices and competitions, and inclusive of all risk levels set forth by the Department of Health, are being placed on a full and complete pause through January 2nd.
Murphy says the exceptions include collegiate and pro sports. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says the state has more than 5,000 coronavirus-related deaths, but he says Connecticut's positivity rate has decreased to 4.4%.
We're still, you know, probably the fifth or sixth lowest in the country, which is good.
Lamont also says he's happy to be out of quarantine following a staff member testing positive for COVID 2 weeks ago. Dr. Scott Atlas, a science advisor to President Trump, is leaving his White House post. Atlas confirmed the news in a tweet that he resigned. Atlas was skeptical of measures to control the coronavirus outbreak. New York Roadrunner CEO Michael Capriasso, head of the organization that oversees the New York City Marathon, is stepping down after facing allegations of racism and sexism. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here again is John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Ravens were scheduled to play in Pittsburgh last Thursday night. As more and more Baltimore players began testing positive, the game was moved to Sunday afternoon. Then it was moved to tonight. And now after 21 Baltimore players have been put on the COVID list with at least one positive test for 9 days in a row, the NFL still determined to play this game. Now, the Ravens and Steelers scheduled to play tomorrow afternoon. The game can't be at night because NBC is committed to showing the lighting of the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. There was the usual Monday night game in Philadelphia. Seattle won 23-17. So the Seahawks at 8-3 are back in the sole possession of first NFC West. The Eagles are 3-7-1. They remain behind the Giants and Washington, who are tied atop the NFC East at 4-7, with the Giants owning the tiebreaker based on two wins over Washington. And now it's the Giants who play the Seahawks this Sunday in Seattle, and it's sounding like Daniel Jones will not play due to the hamstring injury suffered last Sunday. The good news is that it was not a significant tear. Giants coach is Joe Judge.
My approach on every injury is always the same. It's always, number one, can the player hurt it worse by playing? Okay, is it pain tolerance or is there a risk for serious injury? That's number one. Number two, can the player defend themselves on the field, you know, at a level necessary to do their job effectively?
Judge said they will be in wait-and-see mode as the week goes on. College basketball in Connecticut. St. John's improved to 3-0, beat Boston College 97-93. Julian Champagny, 29 points, and Seton Hall got 26 from Julian Roden, 86-64 over Iona. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures on the rise. A rally underway on this first day of December. S&P futures up 40 points. Dow futures a gain of 342. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 114 points now. 10-year Treasury is down 5/32. The yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year right now, 0.14%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks and U.S. stock index futures are starting December on a bullish note with a rebound from yesterday's retreat. The risk-on mood is carrying across other markets. Bitcoin, for example, approaching $20,000, and the dollar is weakening against most of its major peers. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 40 points this morning. Dow futures up 340. NASDAQ futures up 115. The DAX in Germany is up about 1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2%, down 8 cents at $45.26 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.8% or $31.70 at $18.12.50 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1963 against the dollar. British pound 1.3341. The yen 104.40. And checking Bitcoin right now at $19,891. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump's science advisor, Dr. Scott Atlas, who was skeptical of measures to control the coronavirus outbreak, is leaving his White House post. Atlas, a radiologist, had no formal experience in public health or infectious diseases. He resigned at the end of his temporary government assignment. More picks for President-elect Biden's administration will be formally announced today. For Treasury Secretary, he has picked former Fed Chair Janet Yellen. However, Biden is setting up his first confirmation fight with Senate Republicans by choosing Neera Tanden as his White House budget chief. Some GOP members say Tanden insulted Republicans on Twitter. Monday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Eagles. The league will try to play the Ravens-Steelers game on Wednesday afternoon after a COVID outbreak by the Baltimore team. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. As President-elect Biden gets set to introduce his economic team, the current economic leaders under the Trump administration, Fed Chair Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, will be back on Capitol Hill appearing before the Senate Banking Committee as the coronavirus surges and prospects for stimulus, at least right now, remain at a standstill. Let's get more on today's hearing. Bloomberg Chief Economics Correspondent Michael McKee joins us ahead of today's events. So, Mike, we've already gotten a look at what both of these figures have to say today. Starting with Chairman Powell, doesn't look like he's really steering away from the message that he's been hammering for months about continued uncertainty in the recovery.
Yeah, Nathan, this is a classic example of glass half full, glass half empty, and Jay Powell represents the glass half empty side. While vaccines are promising development for the medium term, he's going to say in his prepared remarks, in the short run, there's still a lot of uncertainty, and he points to the vaccines, suggesting that we don't know how fast they will get distributed, how many people will sign up to take them, and even how well they will work once they're out for the general public. And he said the economy is showing signs of slowing down now with the virus outbreaks, so the Fed has to stay on guard.
And, of course, this is going to be the first time that we hear publicly from Powell and Mnuchin since that very public rift over whether to continue emergency lending programs through the end of this year. Have they patched that up?
Doesn't necessarily look like it when you see their prepared testimony. Powell makes it very clear that it was the Treasury Department's decision to end the lending programs that go out of business on December 31st and to ask for the money back. And if it were up to them, the Fed would have kept them going. Mnuchin, for his part, says they did the right thing to end those programs. The economy looks better now. And they could use the money to reprogram it for additional aid programs if necessary.
Well, where is the impetus for stimulus at this point? Obviously, Chairman Powell has been making the case that it's needed sooner rather than later. But, you know, you look at equity markets, they've been humming right along without further fiscal support, maybe not so much in the bond market, but could this hearing today actually have any effect on whether we get any movement on the fiscal side, or are they just biding their time for Treasury Secretary Yellen to come in?
Today's hearing isn't going to have any impact one way or the other. What might have an impact is bad news on the economy if we get some, particularly with the jobs report on Friday. But at this point, it looks like they are biding their times. The stimulus bill is important to everybody but the people on Capitol Hill at this point. They're extremely divided, and of course, as you know, they're facing this December 11th fiscal cliff to fund the government. So getting anything else done is going to be difficult unless the Democrats agree to just a small package that could be attached to the budget bill. But right now, it looks like we're waiting for 2021 to get anything significant.
So you're not expecting that Powell would give any further clues to senators today about whether he's got any tools left in the box of at the December meeting coming up in a couple of weeks?
Well, I have no doubt he'll say, and he does in his prepared testimony, that the Fed will do whatever it can, whatever it needs to keep the economy going. But as you point out, they don't have a lot of tools left. The thing that most people on Wall Street are watching for is whether they start to term out their purchases, change what's called the weighted average maturity of their holdings. In other words, buy longer tenored treasuries so that you push down on interest rates at the long end. But I mean, at 85 basis points or so, there's not a lot of room to get a lot of movement, and it's really not going to stimulate a whole lot more additional economic activity. So the Fed can psychologically be there, but it's really the fiscal agents who have to act. And as we said, there's no sign that they're ready to do that.
All right. So in about our last 30 seconds or so here, what movement, if any, do you expect that we'll get from this hearing later today?
I don't think you get too much except a clearer sign of the rift between the administration now and the Fed. Jay Powell will be staying on. Steven Mnuchin will not. So Powell may be making the case for future activity, future help from Congress for his Fed once the administrations change.
Yeah, with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen presumably coming in and getting a lot of praise on both sides of the aisle for President-elect Biden's pick. Bloomberg Chief Economics Correspondent Michael McKee, great to have you on ahead of this hearing this morning on Capitol Hill with the Senate Banking Committee, as we say, hearing from Fed Chairman Powell and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin on the COVID-19 response. That hearing gets underway at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have frequent updates for you throughout the day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Head of the open on Wall Street, December's getting off to a bullish start with S&P futures higher by 40 points right now. Dow futures a gain of 348. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 111 points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The latest wave of the pandemic is worrying officials across the U.S. as almost no part of the country is being spared. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
Well, Karen, infections are rising at alarming rates. California Governor Gavin Newsom is considering a return to stay-at-home orders as hospitalizations there soar.
If these trends continue, we're going to have to take much more dramatic, arguably drastic action.
Meantime, in Texas, hospitalizations rose to nearly 9,000, the third straight daily increase. And New York City's positivity rate has climbed above 4%. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says family and small gatherings have exploded as places where the virus is spreading. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Hopes for a vaccine are helping to blunt some of the grim news. Novavax is promising trial results soon after its UK study reached full enrollment. At the same time, delays have pushed back the company's timeline. We spoke with Novavax CEO Stan Erck.
What we're doing in the U.S. is we're scaling up the process so that when we get approvals, that we'll have a robust commercial-scale production process, and it just takes time.
A first look at trial results from Novavax is expected in the first quarter of next year.
Shots from Pfizer and Moderna are primed to be the first available. We have word that Pfizer is now seeking approval from the EU to use its shot as soon as this month. Moderna requested clearance in the U.S. and Europe yesterday.
Turning to financial markets now, we're seeing uncertainty in the oil market following word OPEC talks are being delayed after a tense meeting broke down without an agreement. And checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's higher right now by a tenth percent or 7 cents to $45.41 a barrel. Brent is up 0.3% to $48.02.
And on the corporate front, it looks like Tesla will be added to the S&P 500 in one shot on December 21st. And here with more on that story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is a move that will ripple through the entire market as money managers adjust their portfolios to make room for shares of the $538 billion company. With about $11 trillion in funds tied to the S&P 500, money managers have been looking toward a few busy weeks ahead, no matter how Tesla is included in the index. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. S&P futures up 40 points. Dow futures up 355 or 1.2%. And NASDAQ futures up 114. And we are watching Bitcoin this morning at $19,405. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you, sir. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is urging people in his state to remain vigilant and smart during the holiday season as COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations climb. The governor introduced a series of directives to hospitals that will help them gather the staff, PPE equipment, and space needed if hospitalization rates get worse.
In the new battlefield, hospital capacity is the top concern, period. It's about hospital beds, it's about ICU, and it's about having enough staff and enough equipment.
Governor Cuomo says elective surgeries in some parts of the state might have to be canceled if more hospitals get overwhelmed. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is viewing time to have the limited appearance to see the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree this year. This year, it's a five-minute limit, and we'll have designated viewing pods spaced 6 feet apart. New pandemic restrictions are coming to New Jersey. Governor Phil Murphy limited the number of attendees at outdoor gatherings, as well as restricting certain indoor sports. Murphy says he hopes to see a return of those sports.
I want to see especially that high school senior get to play her or his last season, and I value the importance of sports for the physical and mental well-being of our children. But we are seeing outbreaks related to indoor sports, and this is a prudent, short-term step to slow the spread.
Vice President Mike Pence told governors that distribution of a coronavirus vaccine could begin by the third week of December. That's according to a summary of the call provided by the office of Washington Governor Jay Inslee, who says it's going to be a big rollout and help is needed.
We have to have people enroll in the program to become vaccine providers, to actually administer the vaccine, and we've had a lot of people sign up, but we need a lot more.
White House coronavirus advisor Scott Atlas resigned from his post. Atlas won President Donald Trump's favor by advocating the loosening of social distancing restrictions during the pandemic. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the Giants on Sunday will go for a fourth in a row in Seattle. And while there was a report of an outside chance Daniel Jones can play despite his hamstring injury, it sounds more likely that he will not. The Giants would then start Colt McCoy. His coach is Joe Judge.
Yeah, I mean, Colt's a gritty dude. He's, you know, put the ball in his hand, put him on the edge, let him run around, throw the ball, sit him in the pocket, run some RPOs, some zone reads. There's not much we got to change in the offense. You know, and Colt's very good as far as adapting to new schemes, different things. He goes out there. He's got a very clear vision of what's going on with the opponent.
McCoy has played 10 seasons. He's made 28 career starts, and his record is 7-21. The Giants got a good look at the Seahawks last night. They won in Philadelphia 23-17, and wasn't that close. The Eagles scored a touchdown with 12 seconds left. The Giants Sunday will have to contend with Seattle wideout DK Metcalf. Last night he had 10 catches, 177 yards. Week 12 began last Thursday. It is now scheduled to end tomorrow with the now three times postponed game between the Ravens and Steelers in Pittsburgh. That's gone from Thursday night to Sunday afternoon. It was going to be tonight. Now it's a 3:40 kickoff tomorrow afternoon, and that's if there are no more positive tests. Ravens have 21 on their COVID list, haven't practiced in 10 days. An infectious disease expert at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore called the NFL's determination to play this game insane. The 49ers not allowed to play in Santa Clara County have moved their home games the next 2 weeks to the Cardinals Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. College Hoops season-starting tournament, the Mohegan Sun and Casino in Connecticut. St. John's beat Boston College 97-93. In Newark, Seton Hall over Iona 86-64. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Old new senators. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. It's still too early to know the average age of incoming senators, but we can already conclude one thing. The trend toward older new senators is continuing and probably getting worse. Seven new senators were elected in November. Five are in their 60s. So far, the average age of new senators will be almost 61 years. It's simply not healthy for the Senate or the Republic. Not long ago, senators in their 30s and 40s were common. They've now become relatively rare. It's impossible to draw direct lines between poor descriptive representation and a lack of belief in democratic institutions. But it's surely not a good thing. The fault for all this rests squarely with the political parties. Already, party actors in the states and in Washington are thinking about which potential Senate candidates to recruit for 2022 and which to discourage. There are plenty of important considerations, but they should ask themselves if this trend is producing the best senators their parties can get. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. On the economic front today, we get the latest reading on U.S. manufacturing. Economists predict the ISM Factory Index will signal growth for the sixth month in a row, but at a slower pace. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
October's ISM manufacturing data signaled the fastest growth in 2 years. Orders alone advanced at the strongest pace since 2004. But we could be in for moderation in November with new COVID-19 outbreaks. Monday, for example, the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas reported its Texas Factory Index moderated in November. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. And when it comes to earnings, we get results from Salesforce today after the close of U.S. trading. And here with more is Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Salesforce earnings will likely show strong demand for customer service and commerce products. That's according to Bloomberg Intelligence, which expects the company to increase its large deal pipeline as business conditions improve. At the same time, the marketing cloud business at Salesforce could see some softness thanks to poor economic conditions during the third quarter. Joan Doniger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Joan, thanks. J.P. Morgan plans to raise annual bonuses for sales and trading workers, though at the same time, payouts are set to decline across the rest of the bank. Bloomberg's learned traders may see bonuses rise by 15 to 20%. The business generated a record $23.5 billion in revenue the first 9 months of this year. ExxonMobil is about to face the biggest write-down in its modern history. Exxon says it'll write down the value of North and South American natural gas fields by $17 to $20 billion. The company will drastically reduce capital spending through 2025. Exxon has been hammered by the collapse in oil prices, a global supply glut, and the pandemic-driven crash in fuel sales. And Bank of America says it will not provide financing for oil and gas exploration in the Arctic. That's after opposition from environmentalists. Earlier this month, the Sierra Club singled out B of A as the only major U.S. bank not to rule out lending for energy projects in the Arctic Refuge. Futures higher this Tuesday morning. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2020 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Cameron Moscow. Global stocks and U.S. stock index futures are starting the month on a bullish note with a rebound from yesterday's retreat. Bitcoin approaching $20,000. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 39 points. Dow futures up 339. NASDAQ futures up 108. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. Yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up less than a tenth of a percent, up 2 cents now at $45.36 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.5% or $27.50 at $18.08.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1964 against the dollar, British pound 1.3341, and the yen 104.38. And again, Bitcoin is at $19,546. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, some establishment Republicans are sounding alarms that President Trump's denials of his own defeat could threaten the party's ability to win a Senate majority and counter President-elect Joe Biden's administration. The concerns come ahead of Trump's planned Saturday visit to Georgia to campaign alongside Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. They face strong Democratic challengers in January 5th runoffs. A Trump campaign lawyer is facing backlash after calling into a radio show and saying that Chris Krebs, the former head of U.S. cybersecurity, should be shot. Trump fired Krebs last month after Krebs said the election was among the safest in history. Monday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Eagles 23-17. The league will try to play the Ravens-Steelers game on Wednesday afternoon after a COVID outbreak on Baltimore's team. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Yeah, maybe fourth time's the charm for that one, Michael. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include Vice President Mike Pence saying vaccines could start going out by the middle of this month, maybe just a couple couple of weeks. Arizona and Wisconsin certifying President-elect Biden's wins over President Trump, the final battleground states to do so, and the president's top coronavirus advisor, Scott Atlas, resigning. Also making news this morning, President-elect Biden setting up potentially his first confirmation fight with his pick to lead the White House Budget Office. Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter joins us now with more on all these stories. Senate Republicans, Kate, had signaled that they opposed Neera Tanden to lead the Office of Management and Budget even before her nomination was officially announced yesterday. Why?
Well, I think that Neera Tanden is someone that's been around Washington a long time. She's very familiar to Republicans. She, you know, worked as an advisor to Hillary Clinton and also led a liberal think tank in Washington during the George W. Bush and beginning part of the Obama administration. So she's someone that they're familiar with and someone that I think is seen as pretty highly partisan. And so I think, you know, particularly at a time when Biden has made getting a stimulus deal through Congress a top priority of his, you know, this selection, I think, has the potential to make that a little bit more difficult, given what we're hearing from Republicans, that they think she'll face an uphill battle to confirmation in the Republican-controlled Senate. And even if she is confirmed, I think there's going to be, you know, some reticence to work with her potentially.
So is there a possibility then that this nomination could be over before it begins?
That certainly is a possibility. We heard from Lindsey Graham, who's in line to chair the budget committee that would consider her nomination. He didn't sound too favorable about the selection. You know, unless something dramatic happens in Georgia on January 5th when they do the runoff, it looks like the Republicans are going to retain control of the Senate. Obviously, you know, anything can happen in Georgia. But assuming that is the case, you know, there would need to be some level, at least, of Republican support for the nomination. And unlike what we've heard about, you know, in response to the nomination, for instance, of Anthony Blinken to lead the State Department or Janet Yellen to lead the Treasury Department, the reception to both those nominees has been pretty positive from Republicans. It hasn't really been that way with this election.
And we're expecting those economic team announcements to come out officially today, publicly at least. And that's not the only potential cabinet position that Biden's reportedly considering, a colorful figure, I think you could say, for. There are reports of Rahm Emanuel, perhaps, for transportation secretary.
Yeah, and Rahm Emanuel is someone who, you know, has a certain rhetorical flair in how he, you know, how he talks, how he relates to people. He was obviously a figure in the Clinton White House and then went on to serve in Congress representing Chicago. He was the Democratic caucus chairman. He was head of the DCCC the year that the Democrats regained control in 2006 of their House majority, then went on to be mayor of Chicago. So he has a very obviously also served as White House chief of staff. He has a very long resume and so obviously has, you know, potentially the expertise to fill the post. But he's also someone that, you know, I think has worked pretty closely with Republicans, but certainly is considered to be fairly partisan.
And in our last minute here, we heard the report from Michael Barr that Scott Atlas, possibly the most controversial member of President Trump's coronavirus team, has resigned.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the resignation was attributed to he was technically, you know, a temporary government worker, so they're limited to 130 days a year, I believe, and so he had reached kind of the end of that tenure. Obviously, it looks as though all signs are pointing to Trump's overall tenure being done in late January, and so I think that was given as the reason for him stepping aside at this stage, but, you know, certainly he's been a controversial figure. He was against, you know, the lockdowns then pushed for the easing of restrictions, social distancing restrictions earlier this year, which caught a lot of criticism, obviously, from, you know, certain sectors. And so, you know, I think that he's, you know, yet another controversial Trump figure who's going to the sidelines now.
Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you, as always, for keeping us up to speed on what's happening in the nation's capital. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. At 6:53 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, the resurgence of COVID-19 has forced cities like San Francisco and Chicago to close indoor dining. Could New York City be next? Noel Donovan, co-owner of Bloom's Tavern at Midtown Manhattan, has been getting by with 25% capacity and limited outdoor dining. And Noel joins us this morning. I understand you've exhausted government aid. Tell us where things stand right now.
We're being threatened with an orange zone, which means that indoor dining will be completely shut off and closed, and we will only have outdoor dining, which is beautiful in December.
You're being sarcastic there when you say it's...
I'm being very sarcastic. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a joke. It's sad. It's terrible. The orange zone warning is bad. So we can live with a yellow warning. Look, if it's 25%, every restaurant and bar is different. We're lucky we have two floors. We can spread people out. We can socially distance very well. We're all for keeping records and keeping everyone clean and wearing masks. But it's just, it's like if you go to an orange zone, then bang, it's just another more delaying the inevitable of closing down more restaurants and giving the keys back and all this stuff. But it's ridiculous.
Time is of the essence for you because you do have some significant payments coming up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a large payment due by the 1st of January. So that, I was budgeting on being able to afford that even with a 25% occupancy, even with a deal with our landlords, and the deal with our landlords hasn't even been confirmed. Because
that's the taxes we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about property taxes here, yeah.
Well, what kind of guidance and direction are you getting from the city? Are you happy with it?
We're getting a lot of guidance of what to do, but also there's no guidance in, well, what support structure can we give you back to help you get over this tough time? It's so sad. Like so many of my friends lost great bars and restaurants in the city. There's so many places closing. And, hey, we could be closed in a couple of months if we don't reach a deal with our landlord.
All right. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Thanks, Noel. Noel Donovan of Bloom's Tavern in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes research breakthroughs and is ranked one of the nation's most research-intensive universities by Carnegie Classification. More at njit.edu/R1. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Virgin Galactic Holdings has won a NASA contract to provide flight and integration services for payloads chosen by the agency's Flight Opportunities Program. Virgin will join five other companies to provide service under commercial contracts. Facebook acquiring Customer Incorporated, a New York-based software company. Customer helps businesses manage customer conversations from multiple services on one dashboard. Bloomberg News has learned the deal is valued at more than $1 billion. Adobe has lowered its estimate for Cyber Monday shopping. The company now says U.S. online shoppers spent around $11.4 billion yesterday as consumers started shopping before the event. Still, that amounts to a gain of 21% from last year. And Amazon's cloud business is unveiling a service to provide computing power to developers building applications for Apple devices. It's called EC2 Mac Instances. The service runs on Mac Mini computers and is the first cloud computer service from a major vendor that works for Apple's Mac OS. Amazon previously offered the service only for Windows and Linux. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.